Precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can say that we have been blessed. Last night, this morning, we have been blessed by our beloved brother Ewald Frank. Now, brothers and sisters, it's an honor for me to introduce Brother Frank. You know, I've become to know Brother Frank since 2001. The first time I visit Germany was in 2001, where I started a personal relationship with Brother Frank. I know Brother Frank. And our brother has been in the ministry, as we have heard this morning, for over 50 years. For over 50 years, our brother is a minister in the Word of God. In the Kingdom of God, he had an audible call from God. God called him audibly, with an audible voice. You know, just one thing I would like to share with you. Our brother Frank works tirelessly. He works every day. As I know my brother, if our brother is in Germany, every morning at 8 o'clock, our brother is in the office. He's in the office like somebody going to work. One year when I visited Germany, the mission center in Krefeld, it was on a Christmas morning, and our brother was in the office. And I asked our brother, it was a weekday, I asked Brother Frank, don't you sometimes just take off, or don't you just relax, especially when it's a public holiday? The answer that the brother gave to me, he said, Brother Hilton, the master did not give me off. The master did not give any leave. I have to be at work and in his service. Only if the master say, you can have off, you can take off, then I can do that. And sometimes once a year, the only holiday our brother has is to lead a tour group to Israel. And on this trip as well, every evening at 8 o'clock, our brother must address the entire group around the Word of God. So it cannot even be regarded as a holiday or as a rest, because every evening, the tour is normally about 12 days, and every night, Our brother has to be with the group in the room and address them, and whatever questions they have, he will answer for them. Now, as I said, it's an honor for me to introduce Brother Frank. Many of us that are seated here are familiar with his ministry. Others that don't know him, our brother has been called by God and he's traveling the world over and over. He has visited more than 140 countries preaching the word of God. Now I take pleasure in introducing Brother Frank to the pulpit. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. As you realize, in 1958, I was 25. And after these years, I'm 75. And as our brother said, I'm just traveling and working. If I should take leave, I wouldn't know what to do. In all these years, whether I was translating Brother Branham's sermons into the German language, every sermon I translated personally into the German language. So I know Brother Branham's ministry by the grace of God. I know every sermon he preached. If you translate, you cannot skip. You must read every line and must comprehend what was said to put it into your own language. So I'm grateful to Almighty God for all these opportunities he has given unto me to have part in his promised word and promised work, which he does finish in our day and time. And I hope, beloved brothers and sisters, that you do realize there are over 6 billion people on earth, and there are only small groups in every country and city believing the promised word of God for our time. The rest of the world is kept in religions. And even if you go to the full gospel ranks, they claim there are now over 550 Pentecostal charismatic believers all over the earth. That's quite a number. But then if you go into these things, everybody believes what they wish, do what they like, interpret the scripture the way they wish.
Yes.
And I came to know in my lifetime also all the other great evangelists. I don't want to mention names, but right from the first and most well-known evangelist, whether it was Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, D.L. Osborne, Tommy Hicks, Morris Cirillo, Vineyard, and all the others, I knew them personally. I translated for them. I also knew Dima Shakarian, the man, the highest man in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. I also translated for him. And then if I look into the ranks of those who now believe the promised word of the hour and have part in what God is doing right now, then I should say, please realize the grace of God given to you. It's one thing to read Exodus chapter 33, where Moses prayed, Lord God, if I have found grace in your sight, let me know your ways. And then we read on, the Lord just passed by, and Moses saw the backside of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Lord had turned his back towards the people. In the New Testament, he turned his face to us. And my beloved friends, our Lord and Savior had to come into a body of flesh to shed his blood, to redeem us, to bring us back unto God and give us eternal life. Then we understand about the original sin, because the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood. Therefore, our Lord had to come into a body of flesh and blood, because Leviticus 17:11 says, the life is in the blood, and therefore the blood was given for the atonement. So Christ, our Lord and Savior, shed his blood, and his life came upon all that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we have received eternal life by the grace of God. Do you understand? Do you accept that? The same life that was in the Son of God is in every son and daughter of God. And therefore, our Lord could say, I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. John chapter 20, verse 17. And you can go from scripture to scripture to see God's plan of salvation. Just looking to Israel at this time, our brother mentioned that I take groups to Israel. I've been to the Holy Land 24 times. And it's the only time in a year when I would somehow take off and not be somewhere on earth preaching. But friends, I was in Jerusalem in 1964 for the first time, when the city was yet divided. You had to have two passports to come from Jordan to Jerusalem. But what I wish to say is this. When I visited the Garden Tomb for the first time in 1964, something very special happened. There was a nice gentleman, the ward of the garden, and when I entered the place, he looked at me and he said, sir, I need to speak to you. And I said, please do so. And you know what he said? If I look at you, I have the impression that you know William Branham. In October 1964, this gentleman, his name was Mr. Matar, he was a Palestinian, but he was a believer. And he had read the book, A Man Sent from God, written by Gordon Lindsay. And when he saw me entering that place where the garden tomb is, he just said, sir, I need to talk to you. So he invited me to have a cup of tea. And we had a cup of tea together, and I shared with him the precious word of God and we pray together. If I look back to the many, many years in the ministry, I've been to Siberia, I've been to the Ural, I've been to Vietnam, I've been to Cambodia, I've been to China. I've just gone from place to place, and God has opened the doors. Even in 12 Islamic countries, I was sharing the word of God in the different churches and denominations, wherever God would open the door. So I take this call seriously, and when our brother mentioned about taking leave, I shall take leave at the Sea of Glass. You remember? Amen. Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. Not at the Indian Ocean or at the Atlantic or anywhere, but in glory. Amen. And we have to make use of the time. Amen. Beloved, I feel my age, that is true. And in July, especially for East African countries, up to Dar es Salaam, and in August for West African countries. And then in September, the Philippines and Thailand, right to Australia, and then coming back, and just going and going from country to country and from city to city to share the word of God. I trust and I believe that God has ordained these meetings to be. And I believe the word of God is going to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read a few scriptures with you. And I want you to understand, I'm not here to preach forcefully. It's not the loudness of the voice of the preacher. The scripture says, the word that goes out from my mouth will not return void, but accomplish. It's not the preacher who does accomplish something. It's the word, the word, the word. Amen. That will not return void, but accomplish what it was sent for. So have an open heart to receive the word of God. In John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 34, we read, Jesus says unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. We speak about spiritual food. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This our Lord could have said here today. It's addressed to us as well, as our Lord is about to complete his work of redemption. And brothers and sisters, you might understand and you might not at this moment, but the responsibility which is now upon us is greater than the responsibility of a head of state.
Amen.
We had the responsibility for the last time to share the word of God, not to involve into politics, but to share the word of God just before the return of Christ. Please remember what our Lord said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In our time, he will finish his work. He will complete his work in you and in me. Then in John chapter 6, we read John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Not as I will, that was the prayer of our Lord in Gethsemane. Not my will, not as I will, but thy will be done. In John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, John 7, verse 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And verse 17 is equally important. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If anybody is ready and willing to do the will of God, he will understand that the teachings, the doctrine, is not our own, but it's the doctrine of the Lord. It's the word of God addressed to us. One thought about worship, which is going on all over the world. Let us turn to Mark chapter 7, which is a very serious word addressed to all those who worship. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. However, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is a heavy language. If you go, and I'm not criticizing, I say this with a broken heart, if you go to all the charismatic meetings, my beloved friends, all the music and all the atmosphere that is being done, and then the worship, all ladies do what they like, all dress as they like, all do what they wish. Nobody cares about the word of God. And then they call it a worship service. And they all worship, and you think they are in the seventh heaven. But here in Mark chapter 7, verse 7, our Lord says, however, in vain do they worship me, because they teach for doctrines the commandments of men.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that almost sounds like judgment. In vain do they worship me. Wherever doctrines of men are being taught, where the Holy Scripture is not being taught in its original form, people cannot worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And if you go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, here our Lord speaks to the woman at the well, and today he speaks to all of us. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
not teaching the doctrines and commandments of men, but in spirit and in truth. When the Holy Spirit has come, John 16, He will guide you into all the truth. He will reveal future things unto you. And then it says on in verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
My beloved brothers and sisters, that's also the command of the Lord for this hour. Just one more verse from Mark chapter 7, verse 13. My King, the word of God, of none effect, through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such things as you do. Making the word of God of none effect because of the traditions. And if you go from denomination to denomination, from church to church, everyone has their own tradition, tradition, tradition. Interpretation, interpretation, making the original word of God of none effect, believing the interpretations. And friends, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where the enemy just added one word to what God had said in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God had said, you may eat from all the trees except from this one. And the enemy added the word not. Did God say that you must not eat? Just adding one word, drawing the attention of Eve into that conversation. Friends, the moment the enemy comes with the first interpretation and adding to what our Lord has said, please reject him. Please reject him. Don't even listen at all, but come to the word of God and stay with it. We mentioned this morning about the virgins. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians. I want to read a few verses in 2 Corinthians. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What a great word. The Apostle Paul had a divine call. It's written in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. Three times we are told about the special call of Saul of Tarsus, who was on his way to Damascus. And friends, when I was preaching in Damascus, the brothers said, Brother Frank, we'd like to take you to the road that the Apostle Paul might have taken when he was coming to Damascus. And I said, beloved brothers, may I take you to the place where the Lord appeared unto me. And when he spoke to me, when I saw the light, when I heard his voice, I said, I'm not here to go and search where the Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus. I'm here to tell you that the same Lord who appeared to Saul on his way, appeared to William Branham, appeared to Brother Frank. It's the same gospel, the same word, the same Lord who is still working today. And friends, coming back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, sounds marvelous. But what about verse 3? Verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness. Here the word his is very important. Through his craftiness. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. My beloved brothers and sisters, the deception that is now going on is not found in denominations. They had their times long ago, and they might still have their times today. But friends, within the end time message, so many come to different conclusions of the statements of Brother Branham. And I think I do have the authority to say what I'm going to say now. If every statement would have been left where it was in the precise context, there would be no understanding or no misunderstanding possible. Everybody would understand everything the right way. But because these statements by so-called experts who specialize on certain subjects, they picked all these statements from here, from there, from here, from there, and then not saying what Brother Branham said before, not saying what Brother Branham said after, especially when Brother Branham was in Phoenix. He made the statement, I'm coming back. And the brothers who believe in the return ministry, they say, well, Brother Branham said, I'm coming back. They stopped. Instead of saying that Brother Branham said, I'm coming back to Phoenix, they just say, the prophet said, I'm coming back. And that is the deception which is going on, whether it's intentionally or not, but it is deception. So friends, as I told you before, I was translating Brother Branham's sermons. Every sermon he preached since the opening of the seals and many of the others, I translated. And I say again, there will be no misunderstanding possible if every sermon would have been left as it was preached. And then you take every sermon he preached back to the Word of God and finally say what the Scripture says. If you make Brother Branham to say something different to what the Scripture says, you make him a false prophet. And I'm not going to permit you to do that. Every sermon Brother Branham preached came from the Word of God. And every sermon he preached took us back into the Word of God. He didn't take us away from the Scriptures. He took us back into the Scriptures. So every teaching that cannot be backed up by the Word of God, even those who believe that Brother Branham would return, My friends, my question is, do you have a promise in this book for that? And if there is no promise in this book, there cannot be a fulfillment. And if you go to John the Baptist's ministry, in John chapter 1, he announced 2 times, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." But he didn't live to see the Lamb of God die on the cross of Calvary when his ministry was finished. And to us, it may sound very strange that because a lady was dancing, that John the Baptist was beheaded. And you would or could say, "My God in heaven, how can this be? It's a promised prophet, and just because a lady dances and wishes the head of John the Baptist, and then he was beheaded, and the head was brought to the lady who did the dancing," you might say, "Dear God, why didn't you watch over your servant? Don't do this. Let all things be the way they are. Don't try to correct God, whether you understand what happens or not." I don't understand how it was possible for four Mexican young boys crossing the border into the USA and just crossing the middle strip and driving into Brother Branham's car head on like this. 4 young men drunk from Mexico and just hitting Brother Branham's car like this on the 18th of December 65, and on the 24th Brother Branham went to glory. But here is the point. I live in Germany, and now I smile. You don't see me smile very often. I'm a serious person from my birth on. I don't know how many times I laughed in my life. I took the ministry seriously, and also the life itself. It's my birthday, December 24th, and at 11 p.m., I saw William Branham on a cloud, going up, going up, going up, on December the 24th, 1965, not knowing that he had an accident, not knowing that it was the very hour that he was taken to glory. And in this vision, I said, "Brother Branham, you are not the Son of God. Why do I see you going up on this cloud?" Not knowing that it was the day he was taken to be with the Lord. But I cannot ask, "Dear Lord, why did you permit these 4 Mexican boys to drive into his car and finish his life here on earth?" I have to say, his ministry was finished. Otherwise, the Lord would have never permitted this to happen. So don't ask why. Just believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Even how can you explain the many things, even what happened to the Jews, especially in World War II? And that was a burning question upon my heart as a German citizen, knowing 6 million Jews were killed during World War II. They were killed because they were Jews. And then if you go to the opening of the seals, Brother Branham speaks about the first four seals showing to us the Antichrist in his four stages, moving up right to the end, then showing to us the fifth seal, the Jews, the souls of those who were martyred. They were shown under the altar. They were all Jews. They were Jews. So God does all things. He permits all things to happen. And friends, coming to a few points within the message of the hour, it is absolutely important to stay within the Word of God. Our Lord said, if my Word remains in you and you remain in mine, then you can ask what you wish and it shall be given unto you. Just as the Word of God became flesh in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so every promised word of God for this day must become a reality within the body of Christ, within the bride of Christ. But here, as we read, I would wish to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Well, didn't we say something this morning about Matthew 25, 10 virgins? Didn't we mention Mary the virgin saying, I don't know of any man? And now the Apostle Paul presents the Church of the Living God to Christ as a virgin. And then he says, but I fear that as the serpent has beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. Don't try to figure out things. Don't try to explain things. Leave them the way they are. Even in reference to the statements Brother Branham made, and I know them all very well, about tent ministry and about different things. I know all these statements. Leave what is between Brother Branham and God, leave it between Brother Branham and God. And that what is between the church, the bride, and Christ, leave it there. Don't try to explain. God will take care of it. Amen. When the time comes. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is given to us for that great purpose, to line up with the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, take this admonition seriously. I fear. And if the Apostle Paul would be here today, he would say, brothers and sisters, what I said 2,000 years ago, I need to repeat today to all those who are called out with the message of the hour. I fear, if you don't pay attention, the enemy, the serpent, will beguile you as he did beguile Eve. Amen. And what was it? Did the serpent take some other words? No. Just adding to the Word of God and then saying, God knows that you will be wise. You will know the difference. between good and evil. You will be like God. You just partake and things will be all right. Brothers and sisters, stay with the original word of God.
Amen.
Don't add a single word, and I read it to you from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, here we are told from verse 1 to 3, which is a very, very important scripture. Revelation chapter 1, from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants, plural. Amen. Please pay attention. This here is written in the plural. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he has sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John, the servant of Christ, received the revelation for all the other servants of God. And today, by the grace of God, we have the same revelation. You know, the words in the Bible is apocalypsis. And the word apocalypsis can be demonstrated like this. You cover something up. You don't know what's here. And then you take the veil off. You take the veil off. Revelation of Jesus Christ. The veil is taken off, and we see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we see and we understand the message of the hour. Even in our time, it was Brother Branham, God's servant and prophet, to whom the apocalypse, the revelation, the unveiling of Christ, the revealing of all the mysteries hid in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation was made known. But not only for him, but for all the servants of Christ who partake in the ministry at this time. You understand?
Amen.
Especially Amen. You brothers who preach the word of God. Now in verse 2 it says, in Revelation 1, who bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. And now comes the emphasis in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand.
Amen.
Our concern is not about the things which are not written. Our concern is about the things which are written. And that takes us to Revelation chapter 10, where we are told that what the seven voices appearing like thunders were saying, John was forbidden to write, and therefore they did not become part of the written word of God. But we are to keep the written word of God, those things which are written in this book. Do you respect the word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And when the seven thunders
had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up what the things, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm satisfied.
Amen.
I'm fully satisfied with what we just read. Don't write what the seven thunders uttered, or the seven voices, not only thunders. And this is, as I mentioned in one of the services before, the difference. When Brother Branham was on Sunset Mountain, there were not voices. There were just seven mighty thunderclaps. The whole area shook, and the tops of the trees were chopped off, and the rocks were moving down the mountains. I saw the rocks in the valley. I visited precisely the place where this happened on February the 28th, 1963. You could see the rocks just laying there on the foot of the mountain. And Brother Branham was there, and the seven angels were in the form of a pyramid. And Brother Branham said, the seventh angel meant more to me than the other six. And the seventh angel was the one who talked to me and said, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. But the brothers who are not fully acquainted, maybe they're not called to the ministry, I don't know. But there are so many misunderstandings because they do not see the difference between what happened on February the 28th, 63, and then the opening of the seals. And just imagine one thing. The brothers who believe that Revelation 10 is already fulfilled, they believe that it was fulfilled, please listen carefully, that it was fulfilled on February the 28th, even before the opening of the seven seals. And this is totally impossible, totally impossible. It cannot be, because there, Brother Branham was told to go back to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. And Brother Branham makes the statement a number of times, after the seals are opened, the angel of Revelation 10 will come down and set his foot on land and sea. So as I said before, because the fear of God is upon me, I have no thought, no doctrine of my own, not a single one. I just believe the word of God in its fullness, and it's very, very clear in every point. Even those who claim that Christ returned spiritually, they are under the influence of the Antichrist spirit. I read to you two verses. The first verse of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, in reference to the first coming of our Lord and Savior, we read this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. By this know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
Now come with me to 2 John, the second letter of John. There is only one, and we shall read verse 7 in the second epistle of John. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh, future tense. That is the right translation. Here in the Schofield, that is the right translation. I looked it up in the original. 1 John chapter 4 speaks about Christ coming in the flesh. 2 John speaks about him in the future, that he comes. Let's read again. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Very strong language. All brothers who say that Jesus Christ has come spiritually are liars.
Amen.
Spiritually, our Lord came on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
To live in the believers.
Amen.
He died on the cross, paid the price, shed his blood, redeemed us, reconciled us with God. But now he will return bodily. And let me read this to you from the Holy Scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians, here we shall read verse. Do you love the Word of God? I must know. I don't hear an amen. I don't need the amen, but God would appreciate your amen. Sure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Amen.
Then in chapter 4, from verse 13, we have the precise description of what will take place when the Lord will return. I only read verse 14 and 15 and 16. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then, who also sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Those who died in Christ, they will rise first. Let us read on verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we just read it, those who are asleep, God will bring with him. And then verse 15, and this I just love very much. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Not by imagination, might be, it could be, but this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them
who are asleep, or not precede or prevent those them who are asleep. And then I love it with all my heart. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself, not a teaching, not a message, not a revelation, for the Lord Himself. Say amen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shouts, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we forever be with the Lord.
Amen.
The amen was not loud enough.
Amen.
There is no explanation needed, not whatsoever. The way it's written here, that's the way it's going to be. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and here we shall read verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Verse 29, if ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Him. And now, chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall see Him. We shall see Him. For we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
That's God's holy word. The message is in connection with Matthew 25. Behold, the bridegroom comes. A wake up call to the now living. The last message. Return to the Lord. Return to His word. Line up with the Holy Scriptures. Be obedient as the Son of God was obedient to the cross. We have to be obedient, and we have to be in the will of God. There is no completion possible without being in the will of God. You cannot have your own ways and make it. It's impossible. I tell you today, in the name of the Lord, you will not make it in your own ways. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and here we shall read from verse 7. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Please take this into your heart. To do thy will of God. Thy will, O God. And now we go to verse 9 and continue. Then said he, lo, I came to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might
establish the second. In the Old Testament, all the sacrifices, all the offerings were brought to the Lord. But now, the complete sacrifice, the complete offering stands here. And listen to verse 10. By which will I came to do thy will, O God. Verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
It's not enough to just pray, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Fall in line with the word of God. Take the word of God into your hearts. To be in the will of God, you must be in the word of God. Amen. What did we read in John chapter 4? My food is to do thy will, O God. We speak about spiritual food, about the revealed word of God. And it's all connected with the will of God, with the great purpose of God to finish the work of redemption now in our time before the Lord returns. Now let us read on in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And now comes verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is the truth. Brothers and sisters, as we mentioned, I think, this morning, Mary was a virgin. She could say, I don't know of any man. She received the promised word of God, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the Son of God was born. The Word was made flesh. In the same way, the true wise virgins don't mix with any man, with any man's doctrines, interpretations, or revelations. Every true child of God stays in the Word of God. And through the sacrifice of Christ, who, according to the will of God, died for all Hallelujah. Us. We are perfected in the will of God, and we're sanctified in the word of God. And the scripture says, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. It's not what you do, what the Holy Spirit can do in you. Give you a pure heart. Give you a pure heart. As we said this morning, Brother Branham, speaking about the three circles, our soul must be right with God. The eternal life must be within our soul. The Lord saved our soul. And when he returns, our body will be changed. But I say this, I think almost in every sermon, before the outside can be changed, the inside
must be changed first.
Amen.
And God made the promise in Jeremiah chapter 31, I will make a new covenant, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. And in Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 28, you can read our Lord saying, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. So, beloved, going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in closing, what we have to say here today, the last message, the last call, is very serious. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Are you with one foot in the world and with one foot in the kingdom? Where do you stand spiritually? Have you looked into the mirror of God's word? Have you lined up with the teachings? Have you understood and believed the message of the hour? As we also said before, it's the message of calling out, of preparation, of restoration, bringing all things back. And we must not forget to share with you the precious promise of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I just was reminded on this one here. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out.
Amen.
When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's Isaiah 28, verse 12, where God made the promise in the Old Testament that at the time of restoration of all things, there will be the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit would fall again. You believe it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you. And this I love verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the time began. Dear friends, what is to happen at this time? God has spoken through the mouth of all his holy prophets since the time began. God knew the end from the beginning. He could make all the promises which are coming to pass. So from the Holy Scriptures we understand that God has made true his promise of Malachi 4 as confirmed in Matthew 17:11 and Mark chapter 9 verse 12, truly Elijah shall first come and restore all things. And then we go back to the days of Ezra and Nehemiah to say, when the Jews returned from the captivity, they came back to Jerusalem and they took everything that was on the original foundation of the temple. They just cleared
the foundation. And when they found the original foundation, they gave God praise and honor that the whole earth began to shake. Because they came back from the captivity and God made the promise that they should return and rebuild the temple. And when the foundation was cleared and they saw it, they just praised God for hours and hours. It's worth reading those chapters of Ezra and Nehemiah. It's wonderful to see the parallel of what has happened. So what is going on now? We must take all the rubbish that was put on the foundation. We must clear the foundation and understand what the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians. I laid the foundation, and no other foundation can be laid except the one that I laid, and that is Jesus Christ. And also what the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesians in chapter 2. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I remember when Brother Branham spoke about Revelation chapter 12, about the crown with the 12 stars and the woman who was with child. He said, the New Testament church is crowned with the doctrines of the 12 apostles. And then you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrines of the apostles, in prayer, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread. These are the four things that we now must do. We must return to the beginning. We must be found first in the doctrines of the apostles, and then in prayer. And then our prayers will be received, because we built on the original foundation. And if you go to the Old Testament, Amen. You go to Noah, and at the end it says, and Noah did all according Amen. To what the Lord commissioned him. Amen. You go to Moses, and he did all according to the pattern shown to him on the holy mountain. Amen. You go to Elijah, that I have done all this according to the word of God. Everything must now be done according to the word of God.
Amen.
And then our worship will be in spirit and in truth, because we ourselves will be found in the truth of the word of God. So William Branham was sent for the greatest purpose of all the history of mankind, so that the true bride of Christ, the true virgins, are called out and never mess themselves up again with spiritual idolatry, with spiritual fornication. But be ye separated, as our Lord said. What is light to do with darkness? I give you an example. What has the apostolic creed that was formed in 325 and actually finalized in 381 in Chalcedon? What has that apostolic creed to do with you and with me? If you go from church today to day, in all the denominations, the first thing they will ask you, do you believe the apostolic creed?
In how many denominations did I preach in the past 50 years? And when you enter, already, while you come into the place, there is the table of contents, what they believe and what they stand for. And once in a while, I was directly asked, do you agree with our teachings? It's sometimes very hard. I tell you, you have to use always enough wisdom by the grace of God to say things at the end which need to be said at the end and not at the beginning, so that you can have a chance to say something. But friends, I say this in the name of the Lord. In the Roman Church, there's not a single doctrine in practice which is in agreement with the Word of God. And since the days of Reformation, it will now be 500 years. In 2017, on October the 31st, it will be 500 years when Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses on the door of the Schlosskirche in Wittenberg with the 95 theses protesting the Roman Church. But I have to tell you, Martin Luther took teachings from the Roman Church with him, like the Babylonian mantle, And the Methodists and the Baptists and the Pentecostals have taken the Trinity teaching, the Trinity baptism, and many other things with them. And now Revelation 17 is being fulfilled. All the daughter churches return to the mother church.
Amen. Amen.
But the bride of Christ returns to Christ.
Amen.
We don't go back to Rome. We go back to Jerusalem.
Amen.
For the word of God has come out from Jerusalem. And the teachings from Mount Zion.
Amen.
And therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, after World War II, the ministry of Brother Branham shook the world. There has never been a ministry like this in the past 2,000 years. And it was to draw our attention to the Word of God, to be informed that we're now at the end time and that Christ has sent a messenger to prepare the bride for the return of the bridegroom.
Amen.
And therefore we believe what Brother Branham was told, and I said this before, I just love to hear it over and over again from the lips of Brother Branham. Just with the ears you hear it when he gives his testimony, saying, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. God has taken his messenger, but the message is with us. It's the promised word of God for this day. And children, I love you. And you know it. I wouldn't make such trips just to make the trips. I just do make these trips because I know there's a purpose connected to this meeting, to the meetings we had here. Please don't forget. First, God makes promises. And there are three things. I cannot go into these details, but there are three things. First, the word of promise, the spirit of promise, and the children of promise. If you go to Romans 9, verse 7 and 8, not all who are of Israel are the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as the seed. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, I read it, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that he might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 19 in Galatians 3. Wherefore then service the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made.
Amen.
The promised seed from the Garden of Eden. And now we are included in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise.
Amen.
Verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God are yea and amen.
Amen.
Through Christ by us. We are included in the fulfillment of those promises. Like every promise given for the Savior was accomplished, was fulfilled. So every promise given to us shall be fulfilled. If you're a child of promise, you will believe the word of promise, and you will receive the Spirit of promise. And that's a sure sign that you have found grace in the sight of God. A sure sign that you're not playing religion, and you're not only referring to the message of the hour, and maybe like some preachers do, the prophet said, not even going back to the word of God. Some of them have put the Bible aside and just referring to the quotes. Beloved brothers, as I said at the beginning, William Branham used the scriptures, and he took the Bible in his hands, raised it like this, and said, this is my absolute.
Amen.
He never went beyond the scripture. He stayed within the word of God.
Amen.
So may the word of God remain in you. May it remain in us all. Finally, I want you to check yourself where you do stand spiritually. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have a very, very important message. You all know chapter 4, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and at his coming and his appearing, preach the word, because the time is coming when they will not endure hearing the truth, but turn away from the truth and putting up fables. Fables of men having itching ears. My question is, What type of ears do we have? In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, seven times we read at the end of each message, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." And then the opposite, having itching ears. Just itching ears. What does this brother say? What does this brother say? What revelation does he have? What? And then it brings us back to 2 Corinthians 11. "I fear, as a serpent beguiled Eve, so you might be beguiled." This beguiling does not take place in the denominational churches. It takes place within the end time message. And therefore, we have to pay attention. And I say again,
amen.
Our Lord said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Amen. Thy word is the truth."
Amen.
Stay
amen.
In the word. Stay with the word. May the word be in you,
amen.
And you be in the word.
Amen.
Together, we believe, and I want you to say amen to it.
Amen.
We do believe that William Branham was the promised prophet of Malachi chapter 4.
Amen.
To restore us.
Amen.
To turn our hearts back to God.
Amen.
To bring us back to the original teachings. That the restoration can fully take place. And finally, the latter rain would come. For the seed to come up and grow right into maturity. Friends, we're at the end of the end time, and the Lord has sent his messenger and his message. The last call is going forth. I also emphasize this all over the earth. Don't miss the day of your visitation. Read Luke chapter 19. In chapter 17:30, we read, "When the Son of Man will be revealed." In chapter 18, we read, "Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes?" In chapter 19, we read from verse 41, that our Lord went on the Mount of Olives, looking over Jerusalem, weeping bitterly and saying, "How often would I wish to have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood, and you did not want." And in verse 44, he pronounces the judgment. Pronounces the judgment because the Jews who had waited for 4,000 years since the first promise was given. And then the scripture says in John chapter 1, "He came to his own, and his own received him not." Waiting for the Messiah 4,000 years and missing the day, the greatest day God gave unto them. And then our Lord pronounced judgment. The destruction of the temple and the dispersing of the Jews into all the nations. Even in Luke 21 verse 24, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled."
Amen.
Dear friends, the New Testament church waited for 2,000 years. Already Martin Luther expected the return of Christ. He said, "As 3 days and 3 nights were not totally fulfilled When Christ died and he rose, he said that 2,000 years will not be fulfilled and Christ will return. And if you go to the Pentecostal age 100 years ago, and friends, I met two brothers who were present in 1909 when the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place at the beginning of the past century. Friends, and then as we said, after World War II, our beloved brother Branham received a direct divine commission, an extraordinary unit ministry no man ever had before. And the angel of the Lord told him, it's the last sign to the church. But we're not to look at the sign. The sign has pointed us to Christ. And friends, so we understand the purpose, the great purpose of the message of the hour. Don't miss the day of God's visitation. Remain sober in the Word of God. Don't have itching ears. What is this brother going to say? What is he going to say? But be placed according to Revelation 2 and 3. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And never forget, the return of Christ will be a reality. The resurrection of the dead will be a reality. The changing of our bodies will be a reality. The taking up to the glory will be a reality. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be a reality. The millennium will be a reality. The second resurrection will be a reality. The new heaven and the new earth will be a reality. Everything will be a reality. Have part in what God is doing from now on. God bless you. Are you with me? Are you with the Lord? Let us stand and pray. Let us stand and pray. You're such a lovely congregation. I could do like Paul, stay right up to midnight to share with you the precious word of God. I wished you could love the Lord and his word as I love him and appreciate his words. I cannot express it, but to me, this word of God is just life. Since April 1945, I read the Bible every day, every day. My daddy was a lay preacher, and the Bible was always at the center of the table. And only when the meal was served, Mother took the nice decoration and the Bible, and after the meal, the table was cleaned again, and there was the Bible placed back on the table. So I love the Word of God so all my life, actually since the age of 12. I just loved the Word of God, and especially when I heard Brother Branham, and the Lord just had his way. Beloved, we are a privileged people. I cannot say anymore. It's my prayer that the Lord God will be with you. Stay with the brothers whom God has appointed to share the word of God with you. When the Lord called me on April the 2nd, the last two things he said, my servant, don't establish local churches. I must not have part in the establishing of local churches. That's the part of the brothers who live locally. God uses them. I just come and go, I come and go all over the world to share the word of God. But the brothers, and I want you, beloved brothers and sisters, to respect your brothers.
Amen.
Who are placed locally to feed the flock. Respect these brothers. They're just human beings like you and I, but they do have a responsibility before God. And I can assure you, my brothers, they share the same word of God. And if you go to Matthew 25, and this was directly addressed to me, while in Edmonton, Canada, directly as you hear my voice now, I was ready for breakfast and was sitting at the edge of the bed waiting to hear if the people are up where I was staying. And as you hear my voice, and the voice of the Lord every time comes from up but from the right, every time, never from before me, never from the left, every time from up but from the right like this. And there the Lord said, my servant, I appointed you according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 47, to give out the food in due season. But these brothers are called in the same way to partake in the giving out of the food of the Word of God revealed and given to us by the special ministry of William Branham, God's servant and prophet in our day and time. And the last thing that was said was this: my servant, don't publish a songbook, for it is a sign of a denomination. In 1962, what did I know about denomination? What did I know? And if you go to all denominations, every denomination has a certain songbook, a certain songbook. Every denomination has their own songbooks. But I was told, never publish a songbook, for it is a sign of a denomination. So when the Lord called me, he gave me certain directions where I have to stay by forever and ever. And friends, I want you to pray for me as I'm getting old, that the Lord will give me strength. I do carry a heavy burden, even within the things of the end time message, which have gone into many directions. I want the bride to return. You know what Brother Branham saw? He saw the bride coming out of step. And then he saw the bride coming back into step with the word of God. And friends, this is God's time for God's people, for the true virgins, for the wise virgins, to receive the word of God and never mix it, never have anything to do with the teachings of a man. Just stay under the direct influence of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, by his will And by his one sacrifice, we were sanctified and perfected forever. What more do you wish? By the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Son of God, all the sons and daughters of God were perfected in the will of God once and for all. Say amen. Say amen. It's yours. It's yours. You just need to believe it. Maybe it's too high. It's too high for you. It's too high for me. But it's not too high for God.
Amen.
He promised it. He did it. It's a reality. How many wish to be ready for the return of Christ?
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we shared your holy word with this wonderful congregation, Lord, I count it a privilege to be here today in this meeting with my brothers and sisters. And now I pray that the church order, the divine order, will be established in your church. Amen. You are the head, and you place different ministries into the body of Christ, and you remain the head. Not one member directing the other, but the head directing every member.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I pray that the ministries will be complementary one to the other.
Amen.
That one brother would esteem the other brother higher than himself.
Amen.
Never speak evil of anyone.
Amen.
Never mention anyone by name.
Amen.
Just when it's necessary to tackle the wrong teachings and the so-called unscriptural revelations. Dear Lord, grant wisdom, divine understanding and wisdom to each of us. And together we confess, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself. Dear Lord, thou Lamb of God, we thank you for dying on the cross, shedding your holy blood. And we thank you that you invited us to partake in your marriage, in the marriage of the Lamb of God. Dear Lord, what more could you have done? You redeemed us. You gave us your word, your directions, all the teachings, all the practices. And you now line us up with your word, in your will, to be perfectly sanctified once and forever in the true word and will of God. This, dear Lord, I ask for every person present. For every person present, I ask this in your holy name, that everyone will be saved, justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, that everyone will be a child of promise, believing the word of promise, receiving the spirit of promise, that every one of us will be sanctified and perfected forever in your will by your grace. Dear Lord, We just thank you. You're present. I feel your presence in this place. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. How many of you desire more revelation from God? Oh, God bless you.
Amen.
Oh, God bless you. Dear Lord, as your prophet said, before there can be a desire in our heart, you already made the promise to fulfill that desire. And we just praise you. We thank you for your holy blood.
Amen.
We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, be with us all.
Amen.
And bless especially my beloved brothers.
Jesus.
The ministers of your words here locally in this city and vicinity. Dear Lord, we commit all things to you. And we thank you for this day. It's the day you made for all of us. And as we heard your voice, we should not harden our hearts, but open our hearts and receive you, because you were speaking to us.
Amen.
Blessed be your holy name.
Amen.
And blessed be your people.
Amen.
In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Receive all the blessings of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Right to the perfecting.
Hallelujah.
In the will.
Hallelujah.
Of God. Unto the day.
Thank you, Lord.
Of our bodily redemption.
Hallelujah.
When our Lord shall return.
Hallelujah.
And we shall meet again. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And everybody says hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. I thank you, brothers, for inviting me. I thank you for coming. Please remember me in your daily prayers. And the Lord God bless you and be with you. Amen. God bless you.